Welcome to episode 296 of the Seahawkers podcast. I'm Brandon Schultz of the Military Seahawkers, and joining me from the road, my good buddy, Adam Emmert.
Not only from the road, but I am in the great outdoors as I record this podcast. So please bear with any animal noises or vehicles, anything of that nature that happens in nature. Could happen at any time during this episode. So buckle up, people.
I don't even think that that's something to worry about. I think this is something that should be featured. I think if you could maybe bring up the noise of the birds and just the peacefulness in the background, I feel like that would, make this more comforting and just bring a little more peace, I think, to everybody.
Yeah. Which, that would be kind of handy for times such as these. I mean, it's kind of weird to do a sports podcast right now. I mean, just everything's so weird and just, I don't think that's anything that you and I really want to get into on this show, but just, it's a weird time to be talking about, how we're going to improve the pass rush.
Right. Yeah. I did have a plan on things that I wanted to discuss on this show, but I think I'm going to save it for the next show because it doesn't feel right talking about, which guys in the Seahawks you might cut next. It just doesn't seem like a good time for it. But we do have some topics. We have a few Seahawks topics. We may get to some of the other stuff too, maybe toward the back half of the show. But I think maybe, to start things out, just kind of ease people into there's some Seahawks stuff to talk about that I think people right now, they might be looking for something other than, the weight of overall news that they might want to tune into this and then maybe stay tuned for some of the other stuff too.
There we go. See, that's it. We're going to be a respite today.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's be a respite. I feel like that's a heavy weight on our shoulders now that you put that on you and I. But
I'm gonna blow it all up, but it's not gonna matter anyway. So it'll be fine.
Well, part of the reason for us doing this, Adam, it's because we talked for a good hour yesterday, and we're like, do we want to do a show? Do we want to wait a little while and record later on? But we came to realize, thanks to Ross Wilberding's amazing fiance, that it is Ross's 30th birthday, and yes. So I feel like we need to do a show for a guy who has been such just an important part of the show over the years since we've been doing this.
Well, let's be real. The only reason that we are doing this show today, as I spent most of the day at the sawmill today, is for Ross and Ross alone.
Yeah.
So, buddy, this one's for you. I thought maybe we could sing, and then I thought that maybe every other listener to the show didn't need that torture just for Ross's sake, Uh-huh. Didn't seem fair. So no singing, but merry birthday, buddy.
Happy birthday, Ross. The number 30, you're getting into prime territory now. This is, much like Russell Wilson getting into his prime. I feel like the 30s are really when you start to feel like you're, prime adult.
Well, yes and no. I mean, because there's one thing that you need to realize, and this is going to be big advice for Ross, is every decade that you age, it takes you a day longer to recover from either serious physical activity or a major bender. So right. Say in your 20s, you could do something really, really difficult, or in your teens, really, really difficult, like hike up a mountain or whatever, and one day you were good to go. You were fine. Whatever soreness you had there, or probably didn't, was gone. Then in your 20s, it was two. Now in your 30s, you drink about 7 beers and it's going to be 3 days later before you can drink another 12. That's just how it works now. So buckle up for that.
I feel like that's the appropriate amount of time, though. It's better than when you get to 40 and you're starting to get winded going upstairs in your house.
Right. And then you need 4 days to recover from that activity.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, another guy who's approaching his 30s, Carlos Hyde, running back, just signed by the Seahawks. Nailed that transition. Got to say.
Yeah, you really did. I mean, it was as smooth and as cool as the other side of the pillow. Carlos Hyde with the team now. We talked a little bit about this when the rumors are going around about Freeman, and Hyde's name was kind of bantied about as well. I think we had kind of both agreed that we would rather have seen Carlos Hyde, but to act like this is a difference maker of a signing, I don't really think so. I mean, is he better than Chris Carson? Don't think so.
Oh no.
Is he a decent complement/backup to Chris Carson? Sure. I mean, to help take the load off and especially if you start to believe some of these reports about Penny, which somehow he's never coming back ever, like, and he'll probably like wither away and die with one bad knee because he can't like apparently heal. It's weird. Like, I just, I don't know. Apparently he's not going to play for weeks and weeks, which again is just mind blowing to me right now.
Well, I think the idea is that maybe there's a little more going on in there than just a torn ACL.
Okay. Well then tell us that. Like, I just don't need to be lied to about Rashad Penny's knee.
Oh, well, everything's peachy when it comes to injuries with the Seahawks. So until it's not.
Right. But this isn't like week 8 of the regular season, right? Where you're being dodgy about injuries. I mean, we're in the off season. Like, why would there be this hush hush secrecy around what's going on with Rashad Penny? I don't get it.
I don't know.
It's just another reason to be frustrated with Rashad Penny. And it's not even a fair one. Like, he doesn't deserve it at all, but I'm going to do it anyways. I'm going to be that more frustrated with him.
Yeah, well, the signing of Hyde, and I think if we're – it was one of the things that we talked about on the last show was that Freeman made a little bit more sense if you're trying to compliment Penny, but Hyde seems like more of a Chris Carson-type backup. So at the same time, I think, you know, having a physical-style runner – is not a bad thing either. So I suppose if Freeman wasn't going to sign for whatever number they threw out and Hyde was just the next guy on the list to accept that amount of money, then that's just where they're going.
Does this mean they're not going to bring Marshawn in?
You know, I've heard a lot of people wondering that too, because, you know, the argument is, right, that Carlos Hyde at, you know, what, $2.5 million, I think, is his salary cap number for this upcoming year. And people making the argument, well, Marshawn Lynch at the veteran minimum versus Carlos Hyde. Well, for one, for me, what's the veteran minimum? Like 1.1. So you're talking about a $1.4 million difference versus a guy, for a guy who ran for 1,000 yards last year versus a guy who ran for 1,000 yards 4 years ago.
Right.
I think that's probably, you know, worth the $1.5 million upgrade.
Yeah.
I like Marshawn Lynch more.
Yeah. I mean, don't we all? And then you hear DK Metcalf talking about, you know, what it was like having Marshawn on the sidelines and how the young guys just really gravitate to him and, you know, what a leader and teammate he is. And there's just value there. And, you know, maybe they still do bring him back for the season as well. And I'd be all about it. I mean, you do start to eat into that, you know, pass rusher money. But, I mean, hell's bells, it doesn't seem like they're going to spend that on a pass rusher anyways at this point. Like, I've kind of just resign myself to the idea that these are our dudes and we're hoping on young guys.
I'm still not over the idea that Jadeveon Clowney is not coming back, especially when I see reports that the deal that he turned down from the Browns was a 1 year, $12 million deal, maybe $20 million with incentives, but $12 million would have been, you know, the cap number.
Was that deal worth less than $1 billion? Like with a B? Was it less than that?
It was less than that.
Okay, then you decline it because it's a catfish! Browns.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, people. I heard people criticizing him about not taking a big deal with the Browns. Don't take any deal with the Browns. Why? Why would you go and totally tank your career with that awful organization? I just don't understand it. Like, the future monies that will come in are decreased by going to the Browns and having yet another drop in production. Heaven forbid you get injured again. Whereas if you go to a team that has, you know, championship aspirations, and that doesn't necessarily even mean the Seahawks. I mean, it could be another contender, right? You give yourself a lot more opportunity to make money down the road by having team success on a good team.
Well, maybe he took a page out of the book from Carlos Hyde, who spent some time with the Browns and just decided, yeah, I'd skip over that step and just come back to Seattle.
Well, maybe. I mean, I don't see it. I just feel like it would have happened at this point.
There is one last thing that we have to talk about with regard to Carlos Hyde before we talk more Clowney, if we need to.
Yeah.
I went to playerprofiler.com. Mm-hmm. And Carlos Hyde, you know, just looking at his stats and that sort of thing, has the best comparable player up in the upper right-hand corner, Eddie Lacy. Eddie Lacy is the best comparable player to Carlos Hyde, and this bothers me.
Nope. Like, that's not, there's no way that Eddie Lacy is your best comp for Carlos Hyde. First off, how many years in the league did Eddie Lacy actually spend?
I think four.
Four or five, right?
Yeah,
Carlos or five. Hyde is on year what now?
Seven?
Yeah, seven or eight, somewhere in there.
Yeah. You're asking me questions to know things off the top of my head. I don't like this.
Well, I mean, but we don't have to know the exact number, but we know for a fact that Carlos Hyde has played roughly twice as many seasons in the NFL as Eddie Lacy. So number one, right there, they can't be comparable. Like, just right there. Eddie Lacy ate himself out of the league, you know, within, really, he had two good years. And you're telling me that Carlos Hyde is his same comp? Carlos Hyde had 1,000 yards last year. I mean, it's just, it's not even close. And Carlos Hyde can actually run. Eddie Lacy just plodded around.
It's a it's a weird comp to me, but this is what they have, and that's why it's disturbing to me.
What's this website called?
Player Profiler.
Yeah, guess what site I'll never visit again.
Playerprofiler.com?
Yeah, because it sounds like they don't know what the hell they're talking about.
It's
that's stupid.
It is kind of stupid. I got to playing around with it a little bit because I went to Patrick Mahomes, just curious to see what his, because who would you say is most comparable to Patrick Mahomes?
Zeus? Yeah, like throwing thunderbolts. Yeah, like the Greek god, uh-huh. Zeus. Huh. Mm-hmm. Hey, see, one thing about Zeus.
I don't
Zeus
think he played in the NFL, though.
No. Well, one thing about Zeus that people totally kind of just brush under the rug and they never talk about was just how mobile he was. He was amazing. Better with his feet than people know.
This is the reason why we don't have to worry about the Eddie Lacy comp for Carlos Hyde. The best comparable player, according to playerprofiler.com, for Patrick Mahomes is Matthew Stafford.
Okay, then. All right. No. I'm just going to go with no on that one. Look, and I do think Matt Stafford gets kind of a bum rap. I think he's a little better than people realize, but he is certainly no Patrick Mahomes.
He's not Patrick Mahomes. But when you click on Matthew Stafford, the best comparable player is Jay Cutler.
Now, see, those are fairly similar to me.
So Patrick Mahomes, just two steps removed from Jay Cutler.
Is this like the Kevin Bacon game?
It's a lot like the Kevin Bacon game.
Oh, okay.
Who else do you want to play with?
Let's see. How about, well, I guess it's all just current players, right? That they give comps for.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't pick like Cam. Let's see. Current player.
Oh, you could pick Cam Chancellor?
Yeah.
Yeah. Landon Collins.
See, and that's how we know that this site sucks.
And then you go from Landon Collins to...
you can go down that. But just to say how ridiculous this comparison is, I remember watching Cam Chancellor's top 100, like one of the little video things that they put out for his top 100 one year. And they were talking about, like, one player was talking about being on special teams. He's like, I went out there, I got on the line. I started counting down the row to the guy that I was supposed to block. I went 1, 2, 3, catfish! And it was Cam. And you know what's never happened to Landon Collins? That.
Yeah. Well, I'm starting to get the sense that with the legendary players, this site could have some trouble because guys that really have no comparison, who are you going to compare them with?
Other legendary players, like I think the closest that you could get with Cam would be, say, I don't know, a former Seahawk named Kenny Easley.
Oh, yeah.
Or like Ronnie Lott, one of the bigger, thumpier linebackers.
Yeah, I don't know how far this goes back, though, in terms of...
This website blows. We're never going to have them as a sponsor, I can promise you that.
You don't think so?
I feel it already.
Do they pay people?
Well, apparently not. This must be done by like interns or something, this entire site.
Anybody else you want to profile? Or you think we...
I don't know. Profiling right now doesn't seem like the best way to go. Just overall in life.
That is an excellent point.
Not speaking of profiling. What else you got?
I was wondering if we needed to go back to anything with regard to Clowney. You don't think you're feeling like this isn't going to happen?
Yeah, my gut says no.
You think we're good then?
No, I think just the right move just might not have been there for John.
Hmm.
And so here we are. And so we're just going to kind of roll with a lesser pass rush. I mean, we better freaking hope that LJ Collier, in this chip on his shoulder and how motivated he is from all this catfish talk from, you know, the fans and the media and all that, like, actually gets him to a point to where he can be that Michael Bennett type player that, you know, he was drafted to be, right?
Yeah. Well, he did.
I mean, that's what we're hinging on.
At least we have the passion of knowing that he's motivated to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good.
I guess this is that time of year that you hear one of like two or three reports, and like one of them is the player that's been overlooked and hungry, and he's ready to have his breakout year, right? There's the breakout candidate of the year mm-hmm. story. The other story is whether or not a guy has put on a couple pounds or lost a couple pounds.
Fortunately, we get to skip those because people aren't coming into the facility right now. So we don't get those stories.
Right. And then like the third one is some guy looks faster than ever. Yeah. Yeah, that's the other one. Yeah. So, or there's the quarterback that's improved his footwork.
Yeah, maybe we can look forward to that now that some of the NFL facilities are opening back up again here.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, it does feel like it's probably about time for that. I mean, kind of the point of the lockdown and everything was to flatten the curve. Curve has been flattened. So what's next?
Sure.
And yeah, so here we go. And they're going to give it a go. I think if there's one thing that the events of the last, you know, a few weeks have shown us is that we need football. I need football. We need football. Please give me football. Football, come back. Please, please, please let there be a season. I need you, football.
My other takeaway from it is that large gatherings seem to be okay. If you're outside. If you're outside.
I guess. I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, some people have pointed out, well, I guess this COVID thing doesn't matter anymore now that, you know, you got people in the streets and all that. And it's like, no, it still matters. Let's pay attention to the numbers, people, you know, science and stuff.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. Hey, maybe best case scenario is after all of this, one of the positives that might come out of it, among hopefully a bunch of other things, is that we look at it and we go, oh, hey, numbers didn't spike after this. Sweet.
We can be outside around other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
Yelling.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes just, in very close proximity to one another. Yeah.
Let's just hope that come the, you know, NFL season, people will be yelling in sports hate rather than like actual.
Right.
Hate. Yeah. That'd be great.
We can cross our fingers for that. Hey, yeah. Speaking of a guy who I think of when it comes to sports hate.
Yeah.
Pete Prisco.
Yeah.
Nailing the transition once again.
You know what? Whatever you get paid for this, you should get double. So like $3. Because you're awesome.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the positive reinforcement this week.
There we go. Yeah.
I just need some of that.
There you go.
I don't know if that means we need to bring up the Prisco's World Sounder or not, but I'll leave it to myself in post-production if I can fit that in.
If? No, we're doing it. Everybody needs to smile today. Roll it.
La 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 la, la 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 la, Prisco's World. La 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 la, la 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 la, Prisco's World. Prisco has his hot tastes and nothing more. That's Prisco's World.
Well, in Prisco's World, Adam.
Yeah, what the hell is going on in Prisco's World? Because this is usually a warped, delusional place. What's going on?
It's interesting times. And it's the time for Pete Prisco's top 100 NFL players of 2020.
Okay. All right. Let me guess. Ryan Tannehill is ranked above Russell Carrington.
No. No, sir.
Okay. He's ranked 3 spots above Russell Carrington Wilson.
I do not know if Tannehill is on this list.
Well, okay, then it's got to be some other guy. Drew Locke is ranked higher than Russell Kank. Where is the site? What has he done now?
No. Well, I think you'll enjoy this. When I did a search through this list for the name Ryan, Matt Ryan was the first one to come up, and he came in at number 70.
Number, like, 70th quarterback in the world?
70th NFL player in his top 100.
In all of the NFL?
I feel like that's an okay spot to put Matt Ryan.
Who?
Let's get to the more important one.
Okay, I don't know who that guy is. Yeah, all right.
Russell Carrington Wilson, Adam, is number 3 in the top 100.
Okay, now, did Pete Bisco have a stroke? Does he smell toast right now?
I think he's okay.
Are we sure? How about brain aneurysm? Have we checked him for that?
I don't know, but not only is he putting Russell Wilson in his top 3 among all NFL players, he is now on team Let Russ Cook, because here is his little one sentence under Russell Wilson. He was outstanding last season and was in the MVP conversation. If only the Seahawks let him throw a little bit more than he does, which is what they should do.
Wow. Wow. Like, I'm both happy that this has happened. I'm also a little disappointed that there isn't some sort of massive mea culpa, like, that's attached to this. Like,
no, we had his letter. We had his apology letter. We did that. I don't know. What was it?
I know.
Last year?
It wasn't enough.
No?
No, I want a video of him wearing a Russell jersey and, yeah, declaring his, you know, undying love for the future MVP.
There's not a whole lot of people that you can put ahead of him when he's sitting at number 3.
Okay, so the Mahomes would be one of them.
Number 1, yep.
Okay, and he probably put Lamar ahead of him just because he did win.
No, Lamar is at number 7.
Okay, well, he got that right. Aaron Donald?
There you go. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, Aaron Donald didn't have the second best player in the NFL kind of season last year. He just didn't.
No, this is for 2020.
Okay, what makes him think that he's going to have that this year? Then?
What else?
Did the talent around him get better? Did the coaching get better? Did anything on the Rams get better?
Oh, I think we know the answer to that.
No.
Still Aaron Donald.
Well, okay, cool. An aging Aaron Donald with less and less help around him. And he lost his defensive mastermind that unleashed him in Wade Phillips.
That's true.
He's gonna have
a harder time. I'd still like to have Aaron Donald on my team.
Kind of. Not because he's not talented, but just gross.
I mean,
I just don't want former
Rams. He has
been
wearing a Rams jersey.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would feel a little gross. Do we have any former Rams on the Seahawks? Like, not legit ones.
No, we may end up with Clay Matthews.
That doesn't count.
No. You'll always think of him as a Packer, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did he ever get paid, Clay?
I don't... let's see.
Him and Gurley, right?
Him and Gurley, yeah. I don't think I don't think Gurley ever got paid.
Yeah. So the Rams are now shirking on their contracts, too.
Yeah.
What a disgusting organization. Maybe they saved all that money to buy that new shitty logo.
Yeah, the Rams are a disaster right now. It might be one of my favorite offseason stories.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen people pick them as a dark horse playoff team.
What?
I know.
I mean, that's a pretty dark horse.
Did you know that Jared Goff is like the third highest paid player in the league this year?
Is he third now? I thought he was number one.
Oh, maybe he's number one. I know he's up there.
He was number one before free agency started.
Oh my God. If you're a Seahawks fan and that phrase doesn't just crack you up, I don't know what else to say.
And for being one of the top paid players, you know, probably top 3 at least in the NFL, not in Pete Prisco's top 100, as it turns out.
Wait, what? No way.
I know. It's a huge surprise.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, it's going to be a rough year for him. It's going to be a rough year for McVay. It's going to be a rough year for all of the McVay groupies, too.
I don't know. I feel like he'd still have some groupies.
No. I'm talking about the Kingsburys of the world. I'm talking about the LaFleurs of the world. I'm talking about the Matt Nagys of the world. Like all of the little McVay clones.
Yeah.
The McVayettes. Like they're all going to have a rough year this year.
Yeah. I guess that's what you get for jumping on that bandwagon.
Yeah. For hiring frat boys as your head coach.
Yeah. It turns out the frat boy look. I mean, the frat boys look good on the sideline.
They look like frat boys on the sideline. Yeah, that's a true statement. Yeah. Good. Now, that's a whole another statement. I don't know. I don't know about you, Brandon, but every time I see McVay's little smug face on the screen, it doesn't so much look good. It makes me want to throw up in my own mouth.
I'm trying to decide, do we need to talk about anybody else on this top 100 list?
Yeah. Anybody else that would kind of anger me here?
Well, I was just scrolling down, just curious to see what other Rams were on here.
Yeah.
And Jalen Ramsey on here. And then down at number 97, Cooper Kupp.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cooper's on there, huh?
Cooper's on here. No Seahawks receivers on here.
Yeah. Well, he was one of those guys last year that you heard all the stories. Cooper faster than ever. And he had a so-so impactless year. Nate.
Yeah, I think he's all right. But he's ahead of a guy, and I don't know if I've ever heard this name before, DJ Chark?
DJ Chark, he is a wide receiver with the Jags, yes?
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, I know the league.
I couldn't have pulled that.
It's Chark, C-H-A-R-K, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's better than Kupp, who I refuse to say his full name at once like everybody else.
Yeah, you should.
But how about, are there any cards on there? Like, where's Kyler Murray on this? Dink and Dunk Murray.
That's a good question. There's not a whole lot of quarterbacks on here. Well, would you put Kyler Murray ahead of Matt Ryan?
Who?
It's never going to get old.
No.
How about Kirk Cousins?
No.
Okay. Kirk Cousins is 86.
Okay. Yeah, I would not put Kyler Murray ahead of Kirk Cousins right now.
Okay. Yeah, Kyler Murray's not on
this. And I'm not a huge Kirk Cousins fan. Like, it's just Cousins can hit a few balls like further than 3 yards down the field.
Kyler Murray didn't even get an honorable mention on here.
Yeah. Well, apparently the bubble screen is not in vogue anymore.
Are you surprised that Prisco doesn't have him on there?
Yeah, a little bit. Most people seem to think that he's going to have this huge breakout year next year. When most quarterbacks who have a so-so rookie year usually have a step back year or two, and he's not even that good to begin with. So it's a lot like Baker from the year before, right? Baker had a decent rookie year, and then now everybody's like, whoa, look out for Baker Mayfield. And I was like, yeah, he still blows balls. And you know what it turns out? He blows balls in his spare time.
I think.
And on the football field.
Uh-huh.
Concentrating on ball.
I think that's what he should do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it might be better for his chubby ass, but like, I don't see it with Kyler. I really don't.
Okay. Top ranked Arizona Cardinal on this list. Let's see if you guess.
It's gotta be DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, you'd think so. At number 31, though, there's one guy ranked ahead of him.
On that team?
On the Arizona Cardinals. And you're going to love this answer.
Is this past performance based?
Yes.
Oh, well, okay. If it's a cumulative career, it's got to be Fitz.
No.
He does not have Patrick Peterson then.
It's not Patrick Peterson either.
They don't have anybody else.
Yes, they do.
Was there for a cup of coffee?
No, this guy's prolific in the NFL. He has five consecutive seasons of this particular stat.
Oh, is this a sack stat?
It's a sack stat.
Is this Jamie Collins?
No. You're on the right track. You're the former Patriot.
The former Patriot. Yeah.
Yeah, Chandler Jones.
Oh, right. That guy. Sure. 31, huh?
No, he's number 8.
He's not number 8 on the list.
He is number 8 behind Lamar Jackson. No, 31 was DeAndre Hopkins.
Did Chandler Jones like somehow inherit all of Eric Weddle's false hype? Like, is that now that Eric Weddle's out of the league, did that all just transfer over to Chandler Jones now? Yeah. Where everybody says he's awesome when he's just a mediocre player?
Because when you think of the top outside linebacker in the NFL, your name, the name that immediately comes to mind is Chandler Jones.
He is not listed over Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack is number 9.
Oh, okay.
We're all back in Prisco's world, Adam.
All right. Here's the thing. Now this all makes sense, because he's got Russell at 3, which that's out of character. I don't know how he pulled Chandler Jones in at number 8. That's legitimately a monster mistake. Yeah, I think it's clear. He can't use the right side of his body anymore. He wrote this with his left hand instead of his right because he suffered a massive stroke and he just can't use that half of his body anymore.
Well,
he can only use half of his brain too, apparently. There is something seriously wrong with Pete. You think he went crazy?
We have to be worried about him. He's on the watch list, but I think as Seahawks fans, we can at least be happy.
I guess. Yeah.
Only 2 Seahawks made the list. So, I mean, there's that disappointment to be had. Bobby Wagner is the top ranked middle linebacker on the list.
Oh, well, okay.
Number 38 seems a little low, but.
Yeah, I would say. Yeah, interesting list by Pete. Thanks for that. Gave us something to talk about right now.
And that's about all we have for Seahawks news.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we kind of said this might be a short show.
What do you say we get to the second half?
Done.
Getting into the second half of the show. And we danced around it a little bit in the first half. There's some uncomfortable things going on right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, one way or the other, it's all going to buff out and that'll be for the better. No doubt about it.
I think this, with sports not going on though right now, this should be the time to embrace some of the uncomfortable conversations so we can do it now and make things better.
Well, maybe people can't be quite as distracted by some of the other things that they're usually distracted by, like sports.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, maybe that's it. Okay.
Have some empathy. Stop calling people morons. Listen to one another, talk to one another, and, you know, it'll be uncomfortable for a little bit, but we could do it.
Yeah, but maybe everybody will get better.
I think it's an outstanding goal.
So right now, as a nation, what we're striving for is to do better.
There you go.
All right, well, there is my do better this week, and that's great because I didn't have either a better life or do better, so there you go.
Some people you just need to tell to do better, and they go, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm just looking at the country as a whole and, you know what you need to do, all of you.
Yeah.
It might be individually different things, but you all need to do it.
It was cool hearing from Bobby Wagner and Russell Wilson this week.
I didn't listen. I've been trying to not get sucked into celebrity / athlete opinions about all of this stuff and just try to kind of come to, you know, my own conclusions and ideas of, you know, what I can do and how to, you know, better myself too and all that. And so, I've kind of stayed away. So I'm curious as to what the great Bobby and Russ were saying.
Well, it's just
what Russ was cooking.
It was just listening to their experiences. And I can understand the anti-celebrity, I guess if you'd call it that, but that sentiment that because I think with conversations like this, it's much easier to have them in a one-on-one setting where you can get feedback from people rather than just the one-way communication, right?
Yeah, and I know some people that kind of have a animosity towards athletes or celebrities or whatever, like speaking out about things one way or the other, whatever their, you know, leanings are. I don't feel that way at all. It's just, I don't particularly need to hear their voices right now to know the types of things that I'm taking away from, current events. So, I just have kind of filtered it out.
Yeah.
But I'm not mad about it.
Well, I also think that maybe you are farther down the road than particular topics that, you know, cause we were talking about the issues with Kaepernick, when those came up. And
yeah.
So now I feel like, you know, because you and I have talked through these issues,
yeah,
we've now moved down the road. And I think there's some people that still, you know, they weren't ready to necessarily have that conversation before. And maybe now they're starting to see that, and maybe it wasn't a great idea to kind of block that out. And maybe it is time to deal with that, you know, just on a personal level.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I hope so. I hope that each and every time that we have to circle back like this, that more and more people kind of come to their senses in a lot of different ways and go outside of themselves to listen to the people that completely differ with their opinion. You know, I guess what I'm trying to get at, and like, we'll try not to beat around the bush, so we don't have to talk about this forever because nobody really catfish cares what we think. But there's just this,
you know,
overall,
and I don't know if I take that approach either, Adam, because you and I are accessible. People can email us and we can bring it up on the show. We can talk through it. It's different, yeah, about getting it from, you know, guys like Russell Wilson and Bobby Wagner, who, you know, the people who are, you know, we're listening to them, but we don't have the two-way communication. We can open up two-way communication here.
Right. And so basically, I mean, kind of what I'm getting at is, you know, 90% of protesters aren't bad people and looters. They have a legit point that it's time to really listen to, take seriously, and see if we can, you know, find a way to do things better on their behalf. And then also 90% of law enforcement that are out there do a really hard job, and they're really trying to get this stuff right. And they usually do. But there's that 10% that really don't, and it's a big problem, you know?
Yeah.
But let's not forget, because I've got, you know, family that, you know, serve in that capacity or have. And, you know, they're good people trying really hard to protect and serve. And so as long as we can keep that in mind, that, you know, 90% of the protesters are good people trying to make a point that desperately needs to be made, and 90% of cops want to do the right thing and really protect and serve. If we can have that conversation back and forth between kind of those two coins, or sides of the coin on this, then we can probably find a path forward and really genuinely do better.
Yeah, I think that is 90% is a pretty good majority to.
It is. Well, so kind of my thought is, and the reason I say the 90% number is, I don't care how you divide up a group of people. I really don't. You could divide them up by how long their toenails are. You could divide them up by occupation. You could divide them up on whether or not they like the Golden Girls, right? You could take that group of people, and I promise you 90% of them are going to be good people and 10% are going to be dicks, because there's 10% of any group are always dicks. It's just how it is. And it's part of human nature. So how do we deal with that?
Tell them to stop being a-holes.
Yeah, let's not let the a-holes get us, you know, off track to, you know, really working together and making things better.
You know who's not an a-hole?
Bobby Wagner and Russell Wilson?
Them too, but our new members of the flock.
Oh, yeah. No, they're what's the opposite of a-hole?
Really cool people?
Yeah. So little flockers
people
was
like
the answer. Yeah.
Yeah. Should I go back and should we retake that?
Yeah.
Because what I meant to say was little flockers.
There it is. Now you nailed it. Okay. Let's hear about these new opposite little a-holes, little flockers.
Peter Aderlund came in at $5 a month. Welcome to the flock to Peter.
Yeah, welcome, man. Appreciate it. You know, I mean, it's a tough time to be donating money. So,
like I said, we mentioned this on the last show that I expected things to be worse, and it's actually pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Ryan Curtin also came in. Welcome to flock to Ryan, in at $12.12 for a month. And I sent him a Facebook invite, so we'll see if he comes into our Ring of Honor group.
Okay, so I take back one of my previous statements. I said, I don't care how you divide up a group of people, 90% are going to be cool and 10% are going to be dicks. there's one exception, and that is the Ring of Honor. It is 105% awesome people.
105%.
Yeah, more than 100.
Because the people who have come in and then left for whatever reason,
don't question it.
They're still awesome.
It. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's how I'm just trying to figure out the math that gets us to 105%. And I think that's how you do it.
Well, here's another thing you got to try to do math on. I'm convinced that 80% of the population is below average. And I know that doesn't statistically work out, but it feels that way.
I think George Carlin had a good joke about that, didn't he?
I don't know. Maybe he did. Yeah, then I just stole that. Then I feel terrible.
I think he said, think of how dumb the average person is and realize half the people are dumber than that.
Okay, so not the exact same joke. I wasn't stealing from the late great George. Okay,
man, he's a guy I'd like to have around right now.
Yeah, man, peak George right now would be pretty good. I'll be honest, like when a lot of these celebrity deaths happen and all that, not real shook by him. I shed a tear when George died.
Yeah. I don't have a good transition for that one. So now I'm like 70%.
Yeah, I stumped you. I've tried really hard this episode too.
Did get a review in from Noah Young 321 says, "Hey, it's Noah. I listen to pretty much every Seahawks podcast out there, and I can honestly say this one is by far my favorite. Don't get me wrong, all the Seahawks podcasts are really good. This one just has everything you could want in a sports team podcast between Brandon's soothing voice and ability to make even a bad situation funny, and Adam's angry rants and hilarious opinionated commentary. This show keeps you informed while also making you laugh out loud while alone in your car. Thanks for all you do. I feel lucky that I got to play a part in designing the new artwork. Go Hawks."
Dude, so the new artwork is the bomb, and it's way better than the artwork I designed. So I really appreciate that, Noah. Secondly, you know that's the awesome review because he hit everything on a positive note. He didn't even have to dog the other podcasts, which are in their own right good. But then he still managed to, you know, point out that, you know, we're the best. So I appreciate that.
I do like that attitude toward our fellow Seahawks podcasters because, I mean, it's a Seahawks podcast. How can it be bad?
No. And the other thing, too, is what's cool about most of the other podcasts is we all kind of have our own lanes, right? Like there's the guys that are a little more, you know, X's and O's and analytical and, you know, hot take guys and all that stuff. Right. And then, you know, we're kind of in our, you know, middle-aged white guy dad joke lane, and we crush it at that.
We have crushed that lane. We dominate the space and yeah, nobody can come for us in that area.
No.
Yeah. That reminds me, I went on the Channel 12, the Seahawks podcast for Channel 12 and went on with Alan and we had a good Seahawks chat.
Oh, right on, man. Well, I hope that was a good time.
It was a good time.
Sweet.
James came in through Facebook, says, "I listened to the latest episode, and after listening to Adam talk about doing the pod as a hobby, it got me thinking that if both of you wanted to cover football full-time as a career, you definitely could. I've been following Seahawks Twitter for a little over a year, and all I've learned is that these so-called experts who blog and catfish about everything as a career don't know jack catfish. And I question if they are watching football or football. While you guys literally do it for fun, work other jobs, and sound much more informed and knowledgeable." Quick disclaimer, Rob Staten does know his catfish and is not one of the experts I'm complaining about. Those guys know who they are and they need to do better.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, so I just said that, you know, Noah really had the right way to do this, right, with his review.
Yeah.
But James just proved there's like a lot of ways to do these reviews.
I do appreciate the sentiment from James and the idea that we could cover it as a career. But then you and I have talked about this before, Adam. If we were to do this as a career, then it would be actual work.
Yeah, but then I wouldn't have to do actual work. So there's that.
What would your hobby be then? I guess
homesteading.
Right.
Totally. I wouldn't have to leave the homestead to go and travel to do wheel grinds, right? Like go work at the sunhome.
No, make homesteading your job and then this could still be your hobby.
Well, that would
No. Okay.
Cuz I still think this could be fun as a job, whereas homesteading as a job, that sounds exhausting.
Now, if we're just doing what we're doing right now as a job, that's one thing. And, you know, getintheflock.com if you want to help make that happen.
See, I think, you know, if we did get enough little flockers, again, they get another round of checks. I mean, we've proven that. But if we could get enough.
We didn't hit 1,000. And I think that's probably why those checks haven't showed up yet.
Well, I mean, they know what they did. And that's part of the do better to all of America. They need to get in the flock. But, you know, if we did kind of get to that range, then, and I didn't have to go and work in the mill, we could do like 2, maybe even 3 shows a week.
Well, let's set it for a goal.
Yeah, I like it.
We've got 7 years behind us. Maybe in the next 7 years, we can make that happen.
I think that's obtainable.
You know, when we started this in 2013, Adam, covering this as a hobby, you had what, Hawk Blogger? Rob Staten, I think he was out there doing his blog. For audio, there weren't a lot of options.
No.
Seahawks Nest guys, I think, started around the same time as us.
Yeah, just slightly behind us, but not by much, by maybe like a couple weeks.
I mean, Joe Rogan got his big deal from Spotify. Maybe we'll get noticed by Spotify here sometime.
Yeah, I don't know that I would want to sell to Spotify, though, because I don't know that I'd want us to be captive to just Spotify and then make everybody listen to us on Spotify.
I think there's a number, though.
Okay, I'm not saying there's not a number, but I'm sure Rogan
didn't want to be exclusive to Spotify.
Well, 100 million to start is a hell of a place, right?
That's a number.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'd sell our ass out.
Yeah, you can take off a couple zeros.
100. Divide that by 100 and I'm in.
Divide it by 1,000 and I might
be in. Okay. Yeah, true fact.
I mean, not
so that. That was the easiest negotiation for Spotify ever. Like, we just did that for them right here.
I mean, no, 100 million is definitely the starting point.
Right. And not a penny less.
just edit out what we just said. Just for future negotiation tactics.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Brett from Foshan, China comes in, says, "Hey, you guys, I have to say that the humor value from the show is almost as good as the coverage of the Seahawks."
Yeah, right.
"The letter from Del Griffiths was the most hilarious thing I have heard for some time." "Nice job, Brandon, with a snarly voice. If he meant it as a joke letter, he is a genius comedian. If he was serious, however, it was really nice of him to offer you guys a ride to SeaTac Airport, about a 10-hour drive from Montana."
Yeah.
"Anyway, with all that said, I agree with you guys. The Pete and John have made blunders during their tenure at the Seahawks, and the team has underachieved in the Russell Wilson era. I think everyone, even Bill Belichick, would agree that they should have 2 Super Bowl rings, but average drafting, the Blair Walsh experiment, and mediocre game day decisions by the coaching staff have cost this team in the Russell Wilson era. I think over the next 3 to 4 years will tell us whether John and Pete just got lucky in the early part of their tenure at the Seahawks, or they will be the masterminds behind a successful dynasty. Keep up the good work and go Hawks."
Yeah, no, that's interesting, because I'm not sure that I totally agree with underachieved. Kind of properly achieved? Like,
if they have 2 rings, then you say properly achieved.
Okay, so that's the part there that where you fall into the underachieved category for this team?
I think so. I feel like whether it was 2012 or 2014, you win one of those years and that feels right.
Yeah. Which year are you more
2015,
frustrated?
I mean, that would be, they had their chance.
It was never happening that year.
Yeah, they just got blown away by Carolina. I don't know.
No. But it was way before that. See, that's the thing. Like, you got to take into account all of the factors that go into what happens after a team wins a Super Bowl. Like, after 13, like, number one, like, watch the Niners this year. I'm telling you, it's going to be hard on them. Look at the Rams, like, 2 years back after they lost the Super Bowl in a hard way. They didn't even make the playoffs. Like, to go back to the Super Bowl again after winning, like, that, it's just hard. It's just hard to go back. Especially if you lose, right? So then they lose the next year, and they lose in such a way that the team just gets kind of divided apart.
Yeah.
And you just can't keep guys together. The disease of more sets in, right? Like that Pat Riley quote, that after you win, everybody expects more and they expect to be the guy, right? And there's a problem between, you know, the defense wanting to be sure they keep their shine, but not wanting to give Russ his shine. But Russ is like, dude, like, I'm doing good too. And like, you know, just all of that, right? And then contracts and egos and then the hit or miss prospect that is the draft. And then the idea that they've actually kept this team competitive going through all of that, not having a year in there with a losing record. I don't know how you can say underachieved as a whole for the body of work.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you there.
It's just hard. I just think it's harder than most people give.
People look at the Patriots and Bill Belichick and his ability to keep all that together for so long, and it's ruined it for everybody else. It's an impossible standard.
Well, okay, and that's fine. Like, put Bill Belichick with Tom Brady in the NFC West over the, you know, 16 years that they had their run. And I bet you they're down to two Super Bowls.
Yeah.
I almost guarantee it. I mean, when you have a division that hands you, you know, 8 wins a year, it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah. Well, even go back to what the 49ers dynasty years, you know, who did they have to compete with? You know, they were competing with the Cowboys for the portion of the 90s, but nobody in their division that they had to worry about.
I mean, the Rams were pretty good there for a minute. The Saints had a good team like 1 year.
That's right. What I mean. I guess
exactly.
Not dominant every year, but I feel like Montana had a pretty good hold on that division.
Yeah. And I don't want to talk about our participation in that, but yes.
Well, we weren't in that division.
What, the NFC West?
Yeah, we're in the AFC West.
Yeah, true fact.
What are you worried about?
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. I was my head got twisted around there. That was, I'm tired, man. It was a long day.
That's fine. I'll edit that out too. I'll edit out, you know,
leave it in because I'm stupid and people need to know when I
people
do stupid
things.
People
need to
things. Know. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I know you don't have a do better. I have a do better this week.
No, I have one more do better.
Oh, you
I
do?
Can add in.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm going to go after you.
Okay. Well, my do better this week, Adam, I know a while back, I think you gave Russ a Better at Life nod for saying he was going to donate 1 million meals to the Seattle area. Does that, ring a bell?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, now he's working toward a goal of providing 10 million meals. He hit the 1 million number, easy peasy. Now he's going to 10 million. And Russell made an appearance on the 16th hole of the match with, you know, Brady and Manning and Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson.
Yeah.
Yeah, the charity golf game. And Russell went on there to challenge those guys on the on the 16th hole. It was a par three. And he said for every tee shot from that par three that was within 12 feet of the cup, Russell Wilson was going to donate 100,000 meals. So Tom Brady. Brady hits within 12 feet.
And he had been in Strugglesville.
Yeah. He was the worst golfer of the four.
Yeah. At least early.
Yeah. Manning, he got within 12 feet. Of course, you know, Phil Mickelson, the hefty lefty, he's going to get there within 12.
He's not the hefty lefty. Get out of here.
That's not his nickname?
No, that is not his nickname. It's just lefty.
Oh.
The hefty lefty was Jared Lorenzen. Don't you disparage Jared Lorenzen like that?
No, the late Jared Lorenzen, yeah.
I know. You sullied his memory.
No,
You tried to give his nickname away to Phil.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I should.
Yeah, if you wanted to come up with some sort of new nickname for Phil, you needed to make something to do with big calves rhyme with lefty. Then you would have had it.
No, I'm pretty sure there's other golfers on the tour that call him Hefty.
I don't think so.
This doesn't matter because Phil is not.
Who's fat shaming Phil? That's what I want to know. Is it Rory McIlroy? I bet it's Rory McIlroy.
It's not Rory.
He seems like that kind of guy.
No, it is a winner though. I think he won the British. I think he won the Open back in the day. Or no, he was a PGA Tour. He won the PGA.
That's not a real major.
Steve Elkington. Steve Elkington calls him Hefty.
Oh well, Steve Elkington. Whatever with him.
I like elk.
I like elk too, but I don't like Steve Elkington if he's making fun of Phil. What the hell has he done compared to Phil?
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah. Sure, you had a buttery smooth swing. Neat. But you could barely hit it out of your own shadow because you played like a finesse player. You were basically the West Coast offense of golf.
Wow.
Eat it, Steve Elkington.
Wow. Gonna have the Aussies coming for you now.
Oh, well, that doesn't sound good. I like Aussies.
Yeah, I know.
Except for Steve Elkington. He's part of the 10% there.
He wasn't the guy. I wasn't going after Elk. I wasn't going after Phil or Brady or Manning. The guy I'm going after, Adam, is Tiger Woods, the only one of the three who didn't make it within 12 feet, costing 100,000 meals to Russell Wilson's goal of 10 million. Tiger Woods, do better.
No kidding. How selfish is Tiger Woods? He tried to get all the women to be his in the country, and now he won't even help Russ out to give 100,000 more meals to the hungry. So Tiger Woods is selfish.
That's what I get out of this. I'm disappointed. He should make up whatever difference that needs to be made up to get to 10 million.
Yeah.
Tiger needs to cover that. And I will rescind my do better.
No, you won't.
Yeah. I'll rescind it.
He still needs to do it, and you won't rescind it because he knows what he did.
I guess I'm a carrot guy and you're a stick guy.
Well, it depends on the day, you know? But today I'm a little extra surly, and I have reasons for that.
Okay.
Yeah. And the reasons for that is for my second do better. And I told you a little about this yesterday, Brandon. I didn't think that I was going to talk about it on the podcast, but it's almost too funny to share. So, like, not share. So it just has to happen. My do better this week is for the dick tick. That's right. You heard me right. That was while I was driving down the street, going to the convenience store, minding my own damn business, when all of a sudden I felt a pain in a place a man shouldn't feel pain. Reached down there and something had clamped on. Yeah, exactly where you think it did. And I had to sit and like battle him until I could finally get him off of my most favorite body part. And once I finally did, he left like a bloody scene, and I had to like wad him up in a business card, go in and buy a cigarette lighter so I could light his ass on fire in the parking lot for what he did. That was an unnecessary act of aggression out of nowhere. I did nothing to that dick tick, and somehow I had to suffer his wrath. So for that little fiery bastard, do better.
You know, if you could only, if we knew what a murder hornet trap looked like and you could leave the tick as bait, like that would have been the appropriate punishment.
That would have been a more appropriate punishment.
It would have been a like 2020 type punishment.
Yes, yes. Rather than like a medieval one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where I basically just, I torched him like Joan of Arc. Yeah. I don't know what happened there. Like, I've definitely had, I mean, being out in Montana and troops around the woods, you know, like, I've definitely had a lot of ticks on me in my day. And they usually just kind of crawl up your body until they kind of get to your neck, trying to get into your hair, right?
Yeah.
And you feel them and you pull them off. They don't bite you. They don't do anything. You just throw them off and then you're done.
I want to know why you're walking around the woods, with your lower half uncovered. That's all I need to know.
Look, when you're on your own property and you're out in the middle of nowhere, you can do whatever you want. And I just, you know, wanted the bush to be free in the bush. Is that okay?
We all make our choices.
Yeah. And now I know better.
Well, let's close this off with better. I think I'm done talking about it.
Good. All right. Sorry. I don't know. You might want to edit that one out, actually.
No.
Out of all the edit outs.
Let's leave it in. It's and all it's, you mean like, wait, do you mean like the whole do better, or do you just mean the transition?
Maybe the whole thing. It's up to you. I just thought, you know, if anybody needed to get their head like out of current times, like that would have been a story that maybe broke them out of that for like just a minute, you know?
Yeah.
It's a public service is really what I'm getting at.
And during tick season, cover yourself appropriately in the woods.
Yeah. And even if you don't, check yourself there, you know, often, apparently.
Yeah, before that thing wrecks yourself.
Yeah.
All right. On to better life.
Yeah.
Let's close this out with some inspiring words from Pete Carroll. He is my better at life this week. And here's a statement. It says, we are living in the midst of a cultural transformation, and we never needed it more than now. Racial tensions are elevating to unprecedented levels as Black men and women continue to be murdered and mistreated in unjust fashion. The impact of the pandemic has seemingly faded into the background as we process and react to yet another horrific tragedy. These days are challenging and call on us to search our souls. The current tumultuous time of racial injustice has led to protests that have demonstrated extraordinary images of diversity and solidarity. Out of this moment, let us seize the opportunity to discover a new caring, one grounded in a new awareness, a new compassion, a new empathy. This philosophy will guide our decision-making as we rebuild our communities, reform our institutions, and demand justice for all. While there are many ways to contribute to the change, we can start by making a heartfelt commitment to treat all people equally and with the respect they deserve. The fundamental place to begin is to treat others like you wish to be treated. Please consider living out a renewed commitment to empathy. Make a conscious effort to listen, to understand, to care, and to build bridges. Be a part of this cultural transformation by moving toward a new caring for others. Together we can capture this moment and create a culture of new empathy. One day at a time, one person at a time. Pete Carroll, June 3rd, 2020.
Yeah, Pete Carroll, better at life than Skip Bayless. No doubt. I don't even know why we tried to address it at all. I mean, because we had Pete,
We had Pete. We could have just left it to Pete.
Yeah, because, you know, he nailed it. That everything I was saying before, you can disregard that, because what I was trying to say was that.
Is what Pete said. Yeah.
Yeah.
He can be more eloquent at times.
I mean, that's what Pete said. And that's it was good.
Well, Adam, before we get on out of here, it is the start of the month. And usually around this time, we want to thank our contributors at $12 and above. So let's get on out of here by doing that.
All of my favorite people.
Keith Kedover, a.k.a. Floctimus Prime, University of Cybertron, Little Flockers, roll out.
DCH from Sparks, Nevada, the University of Montana Grizzlies.
Annalisa Mickelson, a.k.a. Mrs. Doug Baldwin, New York, New York, undergrad, University of North Carolina, Greensboro, graduate school, Brooklyn College.
Eric Trench, rooting for the Seahawks out of Renton, Washington, graduated from Eastern Washington University.
Gary Blum from Chappaqua, New York, and the University of Pennsylvania, your 2016 Pick'em League champion.
Ron Pepper, UNLV Runnin' Rebels, San Francisco, California.
Hong Kong!
Ah!
Hong Kong!
Ah!
Hong Kong!
Ah!
Kevin Stengem, Keene, Texas.
Ella Esparza, Woodway, Texas, Yale University, and Sam Houston State, Eat 'em Up Cats.
Lisa in Seattle.
Vincent Parker, Emily Carr, University of Art Design, RN Collective.
Samuel Gelber, NoHo, California.
David Van Cleve, Camas, Washington, home of the Papermakers.
Leo Jose, Luleå, Sweden, from Luleå Eskimos and Vancouver, France.
Paul from San Diego.
Hector Delgadillo from Los Angeles, California.
Jameson Holman from Murray, Utah, representing Mississippi State University. Hail State and go Hawks.
Hey Seahawkers, my name is Garen Taylor. I live in one of the most beautiful places in the world, North Idaho. Hashtag on the rose. Go Hawks.
And continuing on down the list, we have Christina in Manassas, Virginia. Ross in Eureka, California. Happy birthday, Ross. Sven in Berlin, Deutschland. James in Linwood. Roe in Federal Way. Hector in Issaquah. Young in Anchorage. Becca in Manhattan Beach. Tim in Austin. Kathy in Eureka. Joshua in Seven Oaks, England. Brandon in Huntersville, North Carolina. Christian in Bergen, Norway. Mitchell in Roseville, California. Jonathan in Ridgefield. Thomas in the Bronx. Seth in Tacoma. Keegan in Colorado Springs. Kari in Rochester. Brian in Berlin, Connecticut. Pepper in Greenville. Paul in Minneapolis. Owen in Ashburn, Ireland. Jeffrey in Kansas City. Eric in Seattle. Tracy in Kaneohe, Hawaii. Connie in Gothenburg, Sweden. Lisa in Kelowna, BC. Dean in the Greater Hawkdom. Marvin in Riverdale, Utah. JC in Billericay, outside London. Taylor in South Cleellum. John in Norfolk, Nebraska. Crystal in Oldsmar, Florida. Kevin in Sammamish. Chris in Spokane. Shannon in Florida. Shoko in New York. John in the Greater Hawkdom. Jeremy in the Bronx. Greg in Seattle. Ryan in Chatham, Kent. Ben in Wrexham, Wales. Joshua in Tander, New York. Kenneth in Hutto, Texas. Mario in Seattle. Jeremy in Moses Lake. Cora in Ditters, Deutschland. Jeff in Monroe. Jake in Tukwila. Warren in Dundee, Oregon. Jose in Chicago. Marcus in Potts Point, New South Wales. Amy in Squim. Preston in Phoenix. Chris in Austin. Nathan in Bozeman, Montana. Benjamin in the Greater Hawkdom. Joseph in Vancouver. Ivy in Renton. Taylor in Spokane. Jesse in Sultan. Ryan in Salt Lake City. Jay in Bellingham. And Kyle in the Greater Hawkdom. A big thanks to everyone who helps to keep this show going month after month. It's been, you know, a bit of a rough go for everybody, but, you know, you guys are helping us keep this going. And, of course, once again, happy 30th birthday to Ross.
Oh, dude. Happy 30th, bud. I hope your dirty 30 is everything you hoped and dreamed of. And just remember, just as drunk as you get tonight, you're going to need 3 days.
And with that,
there's only one thing left to say.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.